Are you ready to rock your profits? It's time for Finance Rockstar Radio. Author, speaker, and accomplished air guitar player, your host is Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer. This show is for entertainment purposes only and is not intended for financial, tax, or legal advice.
Well, hello and welcome into this week's show. I am Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer. We're glad to have you here. Today, we're going to talk about what I find to be a very hot topic, multiple passions, and the fact that a lot of people seem to think you can't have multiple passions and be successful, that you have to pick one, focus, and then that you're done. Now, don't get me wrong. You need a niche, and you need a focus for your niche. But there is no rule that says you can't have multiple niches. So if you are someone who has many passions, yes, you're going to have to start with one. Yes, you're going to need a focus to start with. But then you can have plans to grow your niches. That's right. Grow your niches, grow your business, all of those things. But you need a plan. And I think that's where a lot of people fall down. I think a lot of people fall down with not planning it out and saying, well, I've got all these niches. I can make them all work, you know, or I've got all these passions and I'm going to throw them all on one page. No. It won't work. So we're going to take some time today to wander through a journey of passions. And it sounds like it would be R-rated and it's not. It's totally G-rated. Business passions. And we are going to explore ways you can make that work and profitable without working 80, 90, 100, 500 hours in a week. No, there's not 500 hours in a week, but sometimes I bet you feel like there are. So what do I mean by multi-passionate? And it's a very common phrase now. Multi-potentiate is another one. Polymath might be another one. Renaissance man, woman might be another phrase you've heard. Basically, you have interests or ideas that span, you know, multiple categories. Let's take, for example, and I'm going to show you how I made my multiple passions work. Let's take, for example, finance. As you know, I am the Numbers Whisperer. It's all about the bottom line. And jewelry making. Doesn't seem like there would be a lot of crossover there. But guess what? There is a way to make that work. But I had to start somewhere. And this is where I see most people fall down. Excuse me. This is where I see most people fall down. I see people who say, I'm going to do it all, and I'm going to do it all this minute. And if you're like me, you probably have a notebook full or pages and pages in your, you know, notes in your book, your iPad, or however you keep, you know, in Evernote, however you keep your notes, of ideas, of business ideas, of interests. I could live to be 1,000 years old and I would still have new interests. I guarantee it, and I would still have new business ideas. I'm not saying you can make all of those into reality, okay? So don't think, oh, Nicole said I can have 100 different businesses. Woohoo! Okay. That's just not realistic. But you can have a couple different passions that there is a way to weave them together and make money. But you need a structure. You need a framework. You need something that will be consistent through all of them. For me, the consistent theme in everything I do with business is finance made fun, profit made easy. No matter what I'm doing this radio show, my book, How to Be a Finance Rockstar, as a consultant, The Numbers Whisperer, on Call a Biz Hero with Laura Petrolino. I'm the fun finance side of the fun dynamic duo, and our whole goal is to help businesses succeed. And we have fun while we do it. To some other things we're going to discuss today. So yes, I have multiple passions that I've been able to explore in my business. But you need a way, a thread, a common thread. It's like if you turn on a TV channel, for example, if I love the sci-fi channel, if I turn on the sci-fi channel, I don't expect to see the same show every hour. I mean, really, come on. There might be a marathon over the weekend, you know, like an old Star Trek marathon, or I know Spike TV sometimes does James Bond marathons, but they have a multitude of shows they broadcast, but they all have a theme, which for the sci-fi channel is science fiction, right? Science fiction fantasy, just like in a bookstore. But there is such a spectrum that can still cover. And they have, I don't know if they still have it, they've even had reality TV shows there, like a reality TV show for makeup artists, you know, to make them look like aliens and things. So they found a way to tap into these different niches, because initially you'd think, how can science fiction have a reality show? I mean, you know, what would that look like? Well, they did it. Someone said, hey, there's money to be had in reality shows. What can we do? So, but you wouldn't say, okay, I'm going to have the sci-fi channel on, and okay, what's completely separate from the sci-fi channel? Probably unlikely you're also watching QVC. I could be wrong. I'm not judging you if you are, but those are not two stations that really go together at all. Now, if the sci-fi channel wanted to sell things, they could, but they would have to be sci-fi related. QVC, and I've only seen it at other people's houses, I swear, seems to be mainly like jewelry, home goods. I doubt there's much crossover between the two markets, okay? There may be some, but I doubt there's a lot. So you need a common thread or theme. Now, there's a lot you can do with that, but you need a common thread or theme. For me, it was being number savvy, yet fun and approachable with a focus on profit. Imagine it's like a table. You need, you know, basic structure. I have those three legs, my finance savvy, my profit focus, and fun. And the fun is really important, because if I talked like this through the entire radio show, you probably would stop listening. I'd stop listening, and it's my show. I couldn't do that for more than like, I was like nails on a chalkboard doing that. Anyway, so you need to find what's your theme. Maybe it's your sense of humor. Maybe you can just make people laugh no matter what you talk about. Maybe it's your ability, okay, and I'm not a big Martha Stewart fan. Don't get me wrong. She's done amazing things. As a business person, I admire her, but her products do not speak to me, okay? But think about how she's pulled it all together. She started with, and her original story is amazing, actually. She had a catering business, and how she did it was she would get the serving dishes and everything from her client and then deliver the catered food and have it in that. So it looked like the client did all the work, or most of it anyway. I don't know how many people were really fooled, but you know, it gave the sense that it wasn't catered, it was more personal. That's how she got her start. And what she's done is build on that ability for as a gracious hostess, as this kind of crafter, DIY crafter, making things just so, but yours. And she's built it out into all sorts of stuff. I mean, she's got the show, she's got, I've seen, I'm not a big scrapbooker, but I've seen there's like huge scrapbooking sections in the craft stores that are Martha Stewart. She's got a home decor line, but it was all built on that original premise, and that thread runs through it. What do you think of when you hear Martha Stewart? Other than, okay, going to jail, but what do you think of when you think of someone who is very put together, very good at home entertainment and decor, very tasteful, yet crafty. And that theme runs throughout all of her products, all of her services, her magazine, all of it. There's no dissonant note. So even though they're each their own niche, and she started with one niche, as she grew, she kept that core. If you really feel, okay, and this is going to sound a little duplicative, but if you really feel passionate about passion, about your passions, you have to find a core. Otherwise, what you're going to get is you're going to look like you're confused. And of course, nobody wants to do business with someone who looks confused. If you're lost, do you turn and ask the person who's looking at a map also looking lost? Or do you turn and ask the person next to you who's confident, sipping their local coffee shop coffee, obviously on their way somewhere? I'm going to ask the second person because they know where the heck they are. I'm not going to ask the other lost person. So you have to have some cohesiveness. You have to be able to present a united front. And so that they're not confused, like, well, you do this, but you do this. Now they might be surprised. I know there are times people are like, oh, you have a radio show? Oh, you do this online TV show? But when they tune in, whether it's to the radio show, my TV show, my website, it's me. It's that same person with the same message. Finance can be fun. You can make a profit in business. Let's make it easy. Let's go. It's the same message no matter where you find me. It's the same personality. It's the same laugh that you love or hate. And there it is. I can't help it. It's consistent. You're not like, well, how in the heck does this relate to that? I mean, can you imagine if you turned on, if you were a science fiction fan? I realize not all of you are, but let's pretend for a minute you're a science fiction fan. You turn on the sci-fi channel and there's some romance novel movie on. What? What's going on here? I mean, it doesn't, you'd be totally confused. Or let's say you put on your favorite news channels, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, public radio, public PBS. You put on your favorite news station or channel, and there's like a Broadway musical broadcasting. What? I want the news. I want the news, not a Broadway musical. Now there are times when they do have special broadcasts. Like you might turn on the news and let's say there's a State of the Union address by the president. Okay, that's not regular programming, but it's definitely news and it's definitely related. Sometimes they have specials about different issues, but again, it's news. It's not a Broadway musical. And it's funny, I found out Laura, my partner in crime at Call a Biz Hero, she used to want to be a Broadway musical star. I never had the desire to be on Broadway. Anyway, so if you were to be talking to someone and they asked you, how do you connect these three or four things? If the only answer is because I'm interested in them, it's not good enough. If the only answer when someone says, how does this business venture relate to this business venture? Is, well, because I like them, because I'm interested, because I was bored last night. I had an idea at 2 in the morning. No. There must be a common thread, there must be a common theme, or it won't work. There will be no efficiencies. If you think, look at a big business for a minute. I'm not saying you need or want to be a big business. But there are some lessons you can absolutely learn from big business. And one is they have different niches. One niche might be going after large manufacturers, and one niche may be going after large public institutions. But they don't sell widget A to large manufacturers and service Z that's completely unrelated to widget A to another group. There's consistency. There's a common theme so they can have efficiencies. If there is no cross promotion or cross utilization between these different niches, it's like you're going to end up with four or five businesses, and a small business can't succeed that way. They just can't. I'm telling you it's possible, but I'm telling you it takes work and structure. Now, this structure doesn't have to be like a straitjacket. I like to use the example of blogging. I really fought the idea of an editorial calendar for my blog, for my business. I'm like, I just want to go with it. I just want to go with the wind. You know, be free. as far as like editorial stuff, which I suppose sounds a little odd for someone who's so careful about planning business in general and her finances, that with editorial, I'm like, but I just want to be free. And you know what happened? A mess. I'll admit it. I'm not afraid to say I've made mistakes. You know what? That makes me human. I learned from my mistakes, though. And I had a wonderful teacher on this. Her name is Ty Goodwin of Launch While Working. Check her out. Ty Goodwin, launchwhileworking.com. She lives in the same area I do, in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. And she offers these in-person blogging workshops. And one day, one of the workshops was your editorial calendar. And I'm like, man, I really love Ty. She always teaches me good stuff, but really? I don't want to do that. It's going to constrain me. It's going to be a straitjacket. I don't want to do it. But I went anyway because I know Ty and I admire her. I respect her and I trust her business judgment. So I went. And I learned a very valuable lesson. My calendar actually gave me more freedom. The structure, the right structure, actually gave me more freedom and more chances to succeed than the, but I don't want to be held back. I want to be loosey-goosey. I was shocked. How did that work, you're wondering? How is that possible, Nicole? Because I do have a very strong right brain creative side, obviously. And it has to get out or I go crazy. But how would it work that a structure would give you freedom? Well, think of it this way. What the project, the way she walked us through, I'm going to give you a very high level, because I actually transferred it to my whole business, not just my blog, as far as like a promotional calendar, an editorial calendar. And we just started with, okay, think about maybe having a theme for a month or however long. For me, months made a good, it's a good chunk of time, this month's theme. I mean, for big business, they can afford to have a theme every day if they want. I mean, geez, you log in and look at Google and you have something different every day, which is kind of neat, but none of us are Google. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with a monthly theme. That makes sense. And then I started to just brainstorm ideas. What would be fun to do in this month? These are just overarching themes. I didn't plan down to the very title, okay? I said, okay, this is what should be my theme? Which might be my theme in January? What should be my theme in February? You know, and I went through the whole year. And I'm like, well, that was actually kind of fun because it really, I felt like I came up with some great themes. And some of them would take planning ahead to implement. So as a sneak preview, in July, I'm going to have a whole promotion about bringing your business to the beach, having fun with your business and still trying to enjoy summer, which that's traditionally for B2B businesses, business to business, people who sell services to other business or other business owners. Traditionally, July is a very slow period. And I realized, okay, I'm not going to get people to suddenly change all their behavior, but I can leapfrog off that behavior. You want to go to the beach? Great, let's bring my business to your beach. And you trust me, it will be fun. Now, I'm not expecting that my sales will suddenly be more than any other month, but they will be higher. It will build up my pipeline for the fall. And it's something that I'm involving others with. So it gave me the ability to do more with my idea by planning ahead. Here's another one. Have you ever been staring at a blank blog post page going, oh my God, what am I going to write about today? What, you know, you think, I've written about everything, or nothing sounds interesting. Believe it or not, when you have a theme or an idea, it actually gets easier, not harder. It starts to spark ideas. I belong to the Word Carnival, wordcarnivals.com. I've talked about them on the show before. The last Wednesday of every month, except December, because no one reads blogs at the end of December, and the last month, day, Wednesday of every month, we have a theme and we all write about it. Now, you would think after reading, say, 10 or 12 blog posts on the same theme, you'd be bored to tears. No. What's great is it's a theme, but it's open enough that it's really 10 completely different perspectives. So by freeing me from the stress of trying to come up with a new idea, a new thought, what's next week, taking away that stress and structure about how does this fit into the big picture, actually allowed me to release my inner creativity. Now you notice what's working here is a balance between structure and creativity and flexibility. It makes me think about when I lived in the Philippines, and there's a lot of earthquakes there. At one point I was living in a high rise in a condo. I was on the 11th floor. It was the middle of the night, and I was woken up to a earthquake. It was, I think, 6.2 on the Richter scale, 6.4. It was about 6 where I lived, like where it impacted us. It felt like about a 6, but that the epicenter, I think it was 6.4. Anyway, it was over 6. So it's the middle of the night, and I wake up to this earthquake. I've never been in an earthquake, and this is like a 6-something earthquake. And I can feel the building swaying. Okay, I'm on the 11th floor. And what I learned when I moved to the Philippines is that you never get on the stairs during an earthquake. Why? Because it's the least structurally sound part of any building. If anything's going to collapse during the earthquake, it's the stairs. So don't run down the stairs, which I'm like, okay, I'm on the 11th floor. It's too high to jump. I can't go down the stairs. Crap, I'm stuck. And I could feel the building. I could feel it swaying side to side. And I just thought, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Maybe I should jump out the window. Maybe I should run down the stairs. And then it slowed down and it was over. Obviously, I didn't die. What I didn't know at the time is that it was a newer building, thank goodness, and it had what's called a floating foundation. So even though it was a high rise, I think there might have been like 20 stories, and there was a very sound structure, it was created on a floating foundation so that when earthquakes hit, it could move with the earthquake. Because the reason why buildings fall is the foundation gets out of place, there's no give, and it just cracks and falls over. You want to have a firm, you want to have a sound structure, but you want it to be as fluid as that building. So you can move with things, even catastrophic events like an earthquake, and survive it and move forward. So some structure, an overarching structure, is the key to being successful with multiple niches. Okay, here's the caveat. You only get to start with one. You start with one, and you establish your name, you establish your brand, you establish your identity. And people think of you as that. I really started from being the numbers whisperer, the person who made finance fun. That's where I started. And everything else grew from that. Now, I've taken it even a step further. At the beginning, I said, by the way, I found a way to combine finance and jewelry. And you're thinking, what, you sell it so you make money? No, but, you know, hey, that's a good idea. What I've done is partnered with a jewelry artisan to create a do-it-yourself bracelet kit that teaches finance concepts. Yep, you make a bracelet, you learn about finance. And so I found a way to take my passion for, I really do enjoy making jewelry, but I knew I'd never be a professional jeweler or jewelry artisan, or it's a hobby. It's something I really enjoyed doing. But I thought, this is a great way to reach people. I'll enlist the assistance of someone who is a professional jewelry artisan, and together we can do something. Now, you notice we are building this new niche on the fact that I've already established myself as a finance expert, someone who has an unconventional yet fun and effective approach, and my cohort, Birdie Diamond, is already a jewelry artisan who sells her jewelry through Two Owls Art. So we've both already established ourselves in those areas, and now we're bringing them together and saying, you know, we're bringing, it's called Magpies and Money, so we're bringing the jewelry, bringing the finance, and we're putting it together. But do you see how I had to have that foundation first? If you try to just do a bunch of niches all at once, all over the place, when that earthquake hits and you're on the 11th floor, the building's going to fall over because you don't have a floating foundation. You want the floating foundation. You want the fluid, flexible, but sturdy structure. I can tell you I am incredibly thankful that someone thought up floating foundations, because there were buildings that did collapse during that earthquake and people did die. And I was incredibly fortunate enough to be living in a building that was new and had, or relatively speaking, new and had been built with those kinds of safety codes. That floating structure. It felt scary at the time. I mean, you can honestly feel your entire building swaying. it's an experience I never want to repeat. But afterwards, man, was I thankful for that. So if you're interested in really pursuing multiple passions and having multiple niches, what are the key things to remember? You want to start with what's your common thread? What's the thing? What's your base? What's your core? Start with that. And now develop one niche to establish yourself. I know you're like, but I want to do five all at once. I understand. Start with one. When you have those moments that you want to think about all the other ones, write down your ideas. It's okay to take a half an hour and write down some of these other ideas, and how will they circle back to that core? What will be the common theme, the common thread, so someone doesn't feel like they turned on the sci-fi channel and got Broadway musicals, or you turn on the news channel and suddenly it's, you know, wrestling. You know, what is it, WWE Worldwide Wrestling Entertainment or something? You know, I mean, it has to be consistent in some theme. You want to be the news channel that switches over to capture, the State of the Union, or switches over to capture some other urgent piece of news. You don't want to be the news station that people suddenly start singing in the rain, or, you know, whatever. Don't be that station. Have your theme. Start with one. Think of it as your flagship product, your flagship banner that you will carry, that people will always refer back to and go, oh, okay, I see how, for me, I see how the numbers whisperer, how Nicole, this numbers person who makes it fun, fits these other things. If the only answer to the question, how do these relate to each other, is, well, I like them all, it's not a good business decision, and it certainly will not make you a profit. It's possible, but you need that flexible structure. That's it for today. Wow, a half an hour goes by fast. I hope you had a wonderful time yet again today with me, Nicole Fendi, the Numbers Whisperer and author of How to Be a Finance Rockstar. You can get that on Amazon.com in hard copy, or as a download to your Kindle. You can also hire me. I love to work with people one-on-one. Just go to thenumberswhisperer.com. And of course, I also have my TV show with Laura Petrolino, callabizhero.com, every Thursday. Until next week, remember, profit is not a luxury.